Hello and welcome to The Flow State. This is part two of our episode where we are continuing our conversation with Alexandria Vernon. Alexandria is a freelance graphic designer that we recently discovered online after she blew up for the work that she did for the Wonka film as a graphic designer. So we have covered all of that and much more in the previous episode. So if you haven't heard that already, please go and listen to it. And on this episode, we are going to continue our discussions on the very interesting world of freelancing and all of the downsides of it as well. So stick around for a very interesting episode coming up ahead.
So as you mentioned, you have been in this industry since about 10 years now, you said.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
Like, when did you start making your own contracts? How recent was that?
Like a year ago.
Yeah. But like, you found it very important to make your own contracts, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think I was like doing my own contracts inexplicitly for a while. Like, I was writing out the scope of things, but I don't think I would, and like I would put like caveats on presentations, like just little things, like for instance, you know, if I'd used a font that would need to be licensed, and I'd just like put that on the presentation. So like little elements of what a contract would be, but I didn't have like a formal contract. And I think, yeah, actually over the past year, embarrassingly, only a year ago, I've started to edit and tweak that, and that just happens with time. Like, unless you like work with a lawyer. I haven't worked with a lawyer, but I should. But like, if you can afford to work with a lawyer or want to do that, you can totally do it for yourself. But like, it probably would be a wise idea to work with a lawyer so they can kind of, who's a specialist in design, who can kind of support you with every potential like thing that might happen. But like, even then, no one knows. And you usually like forge your design contract based on things that, like, it's quite personal to you, or things that have like gone wrong in the past usually like defines the contract that you'll make, and you're always adding to it as well. But there's definitely like probably more like legal jargon that you could use. Like, mine's kind of not super legal jargon because, one, I haven't worked with a lawyer, and two, like, I also want to make sure that people are going to read it. Like, how many times have you come across a like contract that's just like full of jargon that you probably haven't read?
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's good for it that to be really explicit and accessible for people to read so they understand.
Yeah, I do get that, because we when we started our studio, we started working with a lawyer and we got our contracts done.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been a process. Sometimes clients do get intimidated, but I think so from our individual experiences, we also learned that a contract is very important, because sometimes you get screwed over
100%.
And you can't do anything about it.
Yeah,
it's everywhere in the world. It's just not at one place.
Yeah, but you know, usually when you're working as a freelancer, people don't tend to take your contract or your payments as seriously. They would always try to negotiate.
Yeah.
They would try to tell you what your project is worth or what your work is worth, what they think.
Yeah,
versus
if
you're approaching them from a studio, they would say that, oh, okay, like you guys must know what you're doing, you know? So what do you think about that? Have you faced anything like that?
Is that even a case?
Yeah.
Do you think so? Well, you'd
hope not. You'd hope like people would come to you and have like respect for you, but often when you're like just one person, it doesn't feel like you've got a robust team behind you, because often if you are a freelancer, you are doing the project management, you are doing like the legal contracts and everything else in between. So it doesn't, I think obviously like more people equals more professional, and obviously like it's a completely different experience if a client goes to an independent freelancer. They could be really amazing at the job and be able to do like strategy and really seamless project management and have like really great process in place, as well as being like a really talented designer. But obviously, the more, like, realistically, an agency is going to have, like, there's more people, you know? There's more, like, insights. There's more different perspectives.
Yeah.
But obviously, you're going to pay more to go to an agency, so, you know.
Also, like, for a simple logo or branding project.
Yeah.
An agency versus a freelancer.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a different experience, isn't it? I think if you want, like, full in-depth strategy, then you're going to get that. And, you know, probably like a startup company who don't have the biggest budget might benefit more from working with a freelancer, and they're probably going to benefit for having more of that one-to-one engagement and more connection. I think it's a bit more of an intimate experience, whereas obviously a design agency, they're working with one client, but they're also working with lots of other clients, so much more than maybe one person would be alone. So I think it's just, yeah, a different energy.
Yeah. And I also remember we spoke about the rights of freelancers and how we wanted to discuss, you know, how, that's why I brought up the topic. I think, like, how do you think freelancers are treated? And do you think that there's something that needs to change about this system, or any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think there can be a slight nuance, I think, of being a freelancer and working within an agency. Like, it's just a slightly different energy. Like, obviously, people who've like gained trust there, who are full time, there's more of like, or it's perceived as more of like a commitment. And I think sometimes freelancers can be tarnished with this brush of not being like committed or like dedicated, or like, you know, there's like a ongoing joke of freelancers leave on time, like, because they've got, you know, they've got boundaries. Or I don't know. I feel like more people actually working for companies permanent as well, like, should be instilling their own personal boundaries, but it just doesn't happen in the design industry, because a lot of people, you know, feel like they need to earn their worth to be working like crazy hours. And I think that's something that isn't right. Like, I think companies, you know, there'll be a time and place where you will have to work late, but it shouldn't be the rule and it shouldn't be every night. But I think in a lot of companies that is happening. So I think freelancers are tarnished with, like, you know, they come in to do the job and then they leave at 6, which is the time that they're supposed to leave. And that's like seen as not, you know, not being committed. And I don't know. I've worked with lots of different companies, and some companies can like be really positive towards freelancers and make you feel involved. But sometimes it can be just this like subtle nuance of feeling just slightly othered and not always like super involved. But, you know, I can see the reason why there's probably more giving and nurturing to people who they know are going to be there permanently. So I do understand that as well.
Yeah. So I actually also want to talk about something that I think is important, because we always talk about, you know, whenever we talk to people, we always want to know their success stories and how did you become successful and, you know, what was it like for you? But there's also a lot of bad things and failures that come along in the way. And so I know that all of us go through that at some point. And so I want to know, like, if you have ever lost a client, or, you know, if there's ever been a period where you were conflicted about, oh, like, how do I deal with this? I don't want to work with this person. Like, you know, what was that like?
Yeah, I had a job a few years ago. It was a really exciting job, like, within the dance industry. And I was really, really excited to work on it. And I just think it was, like, a slight conflict of, like, personalities in terms of the person I was working with. And I also think I, like, didn't have the best boundaries as well, reflecting back on it. I became the consultant to her like vision in the end, which wasn't kind of agreed. I was just doing the logo to start off with, which could have like materialized into more. And then when I like wasn't able to, like, there was a time when I was like really busy and the kind of project had come to an end, and there were kind of some things that maybe I think underlying she wasn't quite happy with that. And I think I like inherently knew, but I'd already spent quite a lot of time on it, and maybe I didn't have like the guts at the time to say, okay, we need to like charge more. And instead I kind of left it at a kind of satisfactory point, which is fine. Like, it happens sometimes. You're not always gonna have a really happy client all the time. And I think that neither of us like communicated that to each other properly. It was kind of inexplicitly said. And then, yeah, the result of that was I had a time where I wasn't like responding and being able to give the consultancy that I kind of inexplicitly was giving out for free, which I was passionate about the project, so I was kind of happy to. So there was a period where like I wasn't able to like respond straight away. And then there was kind of a bit of a like difficult conversation that was had, and then essentially like the client was lost. But it's all good. I think it wasn't like a bonding situation from the start working together, but I was really excited and passionate about like the concept and the vision, but yeah, it happens.
And what about like is there a period where you are not working, or, you know, there's no projects going on? So what do you do with that time? Like, how do you deal with that period of, like, I don't want to call it lull, but just a period of where you're not working with any client? How do you make use of that time?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, like, the industry has gone really quiet at the moment. I know a lot of agencies are on freelance freezes. So right now it's been like, I've had a few bits. It's like been really busy moments, but then there's definitely been like quieter moments. So it's been a mixture. Like, it has enabled me to do more of like personal projects that I've been wanting to do. Like, I really want to design a yoga sequencing book, like a really designed workbook for yoga teachers. And I was really passionate about that because I teach yoga as well. So I kind of combined those two interests together. So I was able to do my own personal project. You know, working on your own portfolio, that consistent project that never ends. So just improving that, adding work into my portfolio and working on my website. I've recently started a design Instagram as well, because that is a great way. Like, it's a great space to be in. Like, it's a natural space where artists and designers are always on, you know? So I think having a presence on Instagram is good. So I've recently started to build that up. Yeah, and being more like specific about posting on LinkedIn as well. So yeah, I think just being savvy and riding the wave of social media, like, it's not going away anytime. And so sometimes you have to embrace it. And so I've been working on that. And then also, you know, I think I'm trying to find the balance. Sometimes when you're not working, you feel like guilty for not working sometimes. And you feel like you need to, like, it's a job in of itself trying to find work. And so it's obviously, that's important to do. But it's also, you know, appreciating the time when you're not working. And I think life isn't all about working. And I think it's really important that you have your own interests and passions. And it could be something creative, but it could be something like totally non-creative related. So, yeah, especially if you're in London, like, you've got so many amazing things to go see and do. Yeah. So it's like also embracing that and remembering that you can like have an enjoyable time, you know. Not everything needs to be like totally work focused.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also, like, a good part of our profession is that if we're not working for a client, like, we can always do self-led projects and, you know, just keep like exploring things that we wouldn't have otherwise. And yeah, that's one of the fortunate parts of being a designer.
Yeah. At the moment, I'm quite into like solidifying my process as well and just making like my experience with clients a bit more seamless. So I've been quite enjoying that strategizing and like just reflecting on actually what is my process, like how am I going to do strategy if somebody comes to me, and writing out like templates for scopes, which I think I have in email threads and like bits and bobs, but I've been like, that's a job in of itself, just like putting all the copy together and like solidifying how a project would work if it was for a full branding identity, how it would work for packaging. So I've been like writing all that out, which is really boring, but it's also good to have because it just saves time for the future.
Yeah, and also like you're evolving as a designer constantly and as a professional. Even though it's been 10 years, I feel like, for me also, it's not been that long, but I still feel like there's so much to learn, so much to do. And, you know, I'm still learning about my process. So I can imagine, like, for you to figure out your process as well.
Yeah, always. And always up for learning as well. Like, even though I've been in the industry for 10 years, like, I'm still always wanting to learn. And if anything, I feel like I'm at a time in my career where, like, I'm, like, in a new chapter for the next steps for my career. So yeah, I'm like, I'll be interested to see where that goes. I'm like, obviously still exploring freelance, but also looking into like permanent roles as well, and seeing what will be next. But yeah, I definitely want to go down the route of like, exploring more, like, definitely want to go down the route of, working more in an agency that focuses on strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's something I've definitely worked on, but it's something like a skill that I want to get better at. So, yeah.
So, like, you mentioned, obviously, being fresh and being up to date is very important. Do you, like, see or refer to any websites or forums which inspire you to get connected to what's happening in the design industry right now?
Yeah. I mean, of course, it's like It's Nicer, Creative Boom, Creative Block. They're all good websites that have features, but yeah, I think just like, again, like if you're living in London or any creative space of Manchester or wherever you are, I think seeking inspiration from experience and other like out of category it's like sources of inspiration. So it doesn't necessarily need to be looking at like graphic design blogs. Like you can get inspiration through a conversation with a friend or like getting into nature or watching a really inspiring film. I feel like that all is like feeds into your like graphic design job.
Yeah. I feel like films do that for me.
Yeah.
Watching a good film really gets me like going with my creativity.
Yeah.
Do you have any example of a very random inspiration which you had, which you took from somewhere and you were just like, damn, like, I did not think I'll get inspired by this. Do you have any of that moments which you would like to share?
Oh, yeah. Recently, I've been working with a hat maker and the kind of the logo definitely wanted to be rooted in a lot of storytelling. She's called Lena Phoenix. So I think already I'd established that the Phoenix was such a symbolic like asset to have within the identity. So I kind of explored that, like, and I kind of knew ahead of time that it was going to be rooted in storytelling and have like a mythical kind of aesthetic to it. And like, if you just look around London, the whole like architecture everywhere like has really amazing crests with like unicorns and like really cool creatures and so like all the kind of Gothic architecture and like structures and buildings and beautiful typography, like that's kind of like ghosted on the side of buildings, like all has inspiration. So yeah, I kind of find my inspiration just like out and about, like, you know, keep looking up. Less like scrolling on your phone, walking down the street, more looking up.
I think so. That's great advice to get outside your box and actually look at the world around you.
Yeah. I think so. Do you have anything like that? Any random inspiration, Aman?
Yeah, I do. Like, I'm also a photographer, so I keep taking inspiration from my photography itself. Like, I was on the subway that day and there's this sign which tells you that that's the area for, wheelchairs. And somebody had posted a smiley on both of them. And I don't know, that just inspired me thinking about how, like, in this mundane world also, people find these small places which kind of inspire somebody else, but also bring happiness. So I was just thinking about that. And I think so talking to people also gets me really inspired. That's my major source of inspiration. I love sharing ideas. I love having a conversation and then seeing where it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so. That's very interesting. What about you?
I think recently one of my most random inspirations came from, I was meeting a friend and we'd gone to his restaurant. He works there. And the bartender was making a couple of drinks. And like, I don't know, just watching him make the drinks, like it made me think of like, oh, how can I translate this drink into like a typography project? Like what does this drink symbolize? And I don't know, I guess that's a project I'm still working on.
Yeah, a personal project.
Yeah, but that's what I don't know. Inspiration can come from anywhere. I mean, for me, it came from alcohol.
Yeah.
That's the best way to get your inspiration, okay? What do you think are the pros and cons of being a freelancer in the design industry? And with the current scenario, you did mention that we are going through a recession in the world where it is difficult to find jobs.
Yeah.
So what where are you at and what do you feel are the pros and cons?
Yeah, I think like you say, it can be tough. You don't have security as a freelancer, but that's obviously a forfeit for that is you are getting a good day rate and it's, you know, you can have much more time off in the year and probably get the same salary as someone who's working a full-time job doing the same thing. And, you know, if you are someone who has other interests and want to hone in other skills and maybe do some traveling, like it's really great for that. Or also just someone who maybe would want the lifestyle of, okay, I'm going to have 6 months off for half the year and then 6 months dedicated to working. So I think freelance can be a really nice way of kind of not going with the status quo of working 9 to 5, which can be like, I don't know. I don't know if it's like the complete way we should be working. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's just the hustle culture lately, which is, I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, it's just a format that we seem to have fallen into.
Yeah.
It's been going on for years, but I feel like it's soon being outdated. So I think there's a lot of good stuff that you can take from freelance of like rethinking different ways of working flexibly. However, I do miss like a team dynamic and I love that consistency of team. I've done probably best in places and companies where I've, yeah, had that consistent team. Yeah, I'm quite a sociable person, so I like being part of that. I think you can definitely get that as freelance, but there is always that, like, knowing that it could cut off at any point, you know, and it's nothing personal. Like, it would just be a case that you've kind of served the purpose of fulfilling that job or project, and now, like, they don't need freelance anymore.
Yeah.
But that can be, like, you know, when you're forging, like, relationships with different people, it can be, like, quite hard and, like, quite emotionally, like, exhausting every time that happens. So I think it's not for everybody, like, freelance for sure. What else would be a con or a pro? I think, like, a pro of working permanently would be you obviously, like, the people who have employed you have more commitment to you and they want to foster and nurture you. So there's probably more room for growth. Being freelance, it's a lot of self-initiated growth and you have to be, like, highly motivated and highly driven and constant thirst for learning off your own back. But sometimes there is something really nice about working in a company and having someone above you to kind of nurture you, you know, obviously depending if you have a really great manager or leader above you. Yeah, and there's probably more room for growth as well to, like, go up the ranks, unless you're, like, a freelancer and you're self-promoting. But there is something really nice about working in a company and feeling, like, validated and valued that someone's like, I want to promote you, you know? So,
yeah,
different way of working.
Yeah, you get used to the structure, but you also get irritated with the structure. I think so, like, it's such a fine balance. But, like, how do you keep yourself motivated and inspired? As you did say, like, it's a lot of self-initiated work. How do you keep yourself motivated? How do you keep yourself positive? Because I go into those zones where I'm like, okay, I can't do this. And it's difficult to get out of those zones, right?
Yeah.
So how do you do that? Like, do you have your own way? Do you do something?
I think I am a person who does like to constantly, like, be doing something, whether or not that's like a toxic trait or like something quite positive. But I think I do have that, like, constant optimism and positivity and, like, yeah, like, drive to kind of try something new and, like, maybe take a risk here, or, like, if something's not working here, then I kind of get, I kind of feed off a lot of energy of just, like, trying something, like, whether it's going to work or not, or, like, I'm quite, like, a reflective person and I'm always, like, inspecting, like, where there could be room for growth. So I think because I have that kind of mindset of being up for change and, like, I feel like it's quite a creative process in and of itself to want to flex and change and, like, try something new. So I feel like even if you're not specifically doing a creative project, actually just creatively seeing how you can, like, warp and change and grow yourself is kind of what keeps me motivated. Yeah.
And, like, if you were to look back, what are some of the mistakes that you wish you could have avoided?
I don't know. I can't think of anything specific right now, but I think what we talked about, like, the contract. Just, like,
you wish you'd have drafted a contract.
No one tells you this, actually. Yeah. Like, uni, like, you don't get taught those things. There are things that you have to learn. I mean, like, when I went for, like, basic things, like, when I went freelance, luckily my dad's an accountant, so he, like, helped me, and he did say a few things that I should do, like, keep track of your expenses and, like, have an account and put X amount of money in it for your taxes when you do your end of year self-assessment, which is, like, really boring at first. It's not, like, creative people aren't too, like, excited or exhilarated by finance stuff. But actually, by my second year, I was like, you know what, I really should have kept track of my expenses and I should have got an account to put my extra tax in. So yeah, little things like that would be good. But I don't know, sometimes you do have to make mistakes to learn for yourself anyway. So I don't think making mistakes is specifically, like, negative thing.
Yeah. And I think for us also, we learned about contracts from each other. Like, all of us, you know, when we were just graduating, we were all somehow getting clients to work with, and we decided that the only way to regulate it is make contracts, because we realized that people before us were not doing that. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes it's important that we look at other people's mistakes and also learn from them. And so I think it's important to talk about mistakes. So there's so many things, you know, so many resources that we have to not make certain mistakes, but obviously you can't learn everything, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to always know about these things also.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you use any specific resources to help you freelance, like other than just design? Obviously, you use the Adobe Suite. We all use the Adobe Suite, but
I've really got into Notion recently. I don't know if you've heard of Notion.
Yes. I have,
yeah. I've used it. I mean, I feel like working with freelance, you get a really good idea of using lots of different project managing tools and different systems. So I feel like I've used every project management tool ever, but actually Notion's really good. It's really clever. I got really into it and I like watched lots of videos of the founder. I got quite obsessive with it because I just think it's quite like a nice concept of having these, like, because I think the premise of Notion is like essentially like building blocks of like pages of pages. It's almost like folders of folders of folders where you can add like lots of so it's like almost like front end developing for anybody, basically.
Yeah, it's like a file cabinet on like a digital platform.
But the cool thing about it is like there's lots of different widgets and facilities that you can do within it, and it's almost like it's a really good tool for creativity, because as long as you know what the capacity is with those tools, you can then go on to create whatever. So if you're a project manager, you can create an amazing project manager and team system. Like if you're an accountant, you can do like a really, you can do a database, like an Excel spreadsheet, like. So I've used it for lots of different things. Like you can like manage your to-do list. Like you can, as long as you have like the idea, you can like figure out what things would be appropriate for you to use that Notion has. So I've been really enjoying that. And I've been trying to like, I don't know, I get quite a thrill from organization.
Yeah. we also have been using Notion since the past year, and it's been great, like for everything, like just to get all the tasks done. We know where we are with each client.
So good.
And then recently we also started using Miro for ideations.
Yeah.
And so we do a lot of ideations with Miro also. But are there any more platforms like Notion or Miro or anything else which you would also like to add, Jenna?
I don't know, actually. I think of, because I recently redid my portfolio.
Yeah.
I was looking at certain resources online, and I think there's a website called Coolfolio, if I'm not wrong. So they have this feature where you can see what other people are working on and what sort of projects are they putting out there. And I think for me, that has been a good creative tool. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I think I also go to Dribbble sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I've not explored Dribbble that much.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, it's really nice. And obviously, I love Behance. I always go on to Behance and I check out projects. I save projects that I like. I have mood boards. I didn't want to say that. But I guess Pinterest is a good inspiration.
It's fine. Yeah, no judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, once in a while. I think... I usually like looking for cool movie posters, so I save a lot of them on Pinterest. So it's just nice to have like a good collection for you to look back, and not just like copy, but I don't know, just it's nice to have like it. I think it's a good reflection of what your creative personality is like if you have these mood boards for yourself.
Yeah. I feel like vision boards are like really big as well at the moment. Just nice. Another thing I was gonna say is if you have got an Adobe Creative Suite account, my portfolio is free with that, which I think a lot of people don't know. But like if you wanted an off-the-shelf website solution, then my portfolio is free. If you're paying for Adobe Creative Suite anyway, you might as well use that. It's not like super creative in terms of like the scope of things you can do, but if you just want to get started as a designer and get a website up and you're already paying for the Creative Suite, then it's they've got lots of different templates that you can use.
Even Squarespace is a good place, right?
Yeah.
To start your website.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Nice. We did a nice Notion plugin. So if anybody wants to sponsor us.
Yeah. Please do. I'll be a Notion influencer. Happily.
Okay. So let's come like to a question which I really wanted to ask you. What is one piece of advice, like the best advice you would give to someone who's just graduating or just coming into the freelance industry?
Or just the design industry.
Or just the design industry also.
I think don't get overwhelmed by the fact that there's lots of people doing it. Like the reality is that the creative industry can be competitive, but I think everyone should hone in and know that they've got their unique slant that they can offer. So sometimes maybe good advice would be a bit blinkered and kind of don't look externally and start to compare yourself and know that, yeah, you have something amazing to offer, like in a unique perspective and experience. And if you can find that and if you know your niche quite soon, then like play to that.
What are your next steps as a designer? What's like your next Everest you want to claim?
I think my next steps, I would like to get more experience in a branding agency and focus on the strategy side.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my next focus.
But as a freelancer, like I think so we have come back to a branding agency again and again. But as a freelancer, like isn't that contrary to what you want to do? Don't you want to work with clients directly? How do you keep coming back to a branding agency?
I think that depends which path I go. I think I'm at that kind of tipping point where like I'll go permanent and I'll get that gain that experience in an agency, or I will hone in. I mean, I'm kind of working towards both as well. So I'll either just hone in on like working with my freelance clients and making again that really amazing like customer experience for the people that I work with, and like building upon that, and again trying to get like new clients as well, rather than like people seeking me. So that'll be like the next step. But yeah, working with more amazing people who have like great visions and ideas and who are really passionate.
I wish you all the best. I think you're already doing so great, of course, but I just wish that there's better things for you ahead. And with that, I think the podcast or the episode has come to an end, and this has been so, so nice, and it's been so good talking to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you
for doing this.
Inviting me on.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.